Let's start with the first Saturday night in the books in the NHL last night. We already discussed the Leafs on the show, Victoria, but the Edmonton Oilers win the debut Battle of Alberta. Connor McDavid has a hat trick, 2-0 to start the year. Victoria, is this finally the year the Edmonton Oilers are ready for their breakthrough? Is two games enough to say, yes, everything's going to be just fine now?
I made a wager with myself before coming on the air with you, Roger, and I bet myself that the Oilers would be our first talking point, so now I have to pay myself because I had a very good feeling.
It's a catch-22, though, Victoria. Who gets the money? I mean, come on.
I think you come out even at the end of the day. But, no, I knew it. It was either going to be Pittsburgh or the Oilers. I couldn't get my head around it. Yes, they look up. One note of complaint first about NHL scheduling in general, get to the Oilers. Could we have a fewer games on Saturday and maybe a few more on the Sunday? I mean, 14 games is so hard to wrap your head around in one singular evening. And then today we have one. And no disrespect to Dallas and Ottawa, but a few more games would have been nice to pepper throughout the NFL Sunday as well. Anyway, that's my one complaint. Moving on, it was a very exciting evening. The Oilers look good. Mike Smith looks good. I ruled him out. That's not true. I didn't rule him out. I didn't expect him to play as well and to sustain the season that he sustained last year. And I know when we were on, I said he's going to run out of gas. And now at the start of this season, he looks fresh as a daisy. He looks fantastic. And I am not going to say a word against Mike Smith for the rest of the season unless he actually does go down injured, because he looks grand. And what about Puljujarvi playing on that top line? I mean, we got a taste of it last season, but he just looks all the more determined. And, of course, playing with the best player in the world. The hat trick, it's a bit of a cheap hat trick since one of them was an empty netter, but still a hat trick nonetheless. McDavid looks McDavid. Puljujarvi looks like that right fit on the right side. Thank goodness, displacing Zach Cashin once and for all. That needed to be done. And the Oilers look strong, and they look good on defense as well. I know it's only two games. I mean, some teams have played one, some have played three, they played two. It's only two games, but so far, so good.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that one, Victoria. And listen, it's one of the things. The Oilers are like Washington, San Jose, so many teams that have just, you know, knocked on the door and had no playoff success and waiting for the chance to break through. And then all of a sudden they break through in a year maybe you're not expecting. I don't want to say people aren't expecting them to, because when you have Connor McDavid, you're always going to be a team people look at. But it seems like maybe the spotlight, I know, is always bright because they're a Canadian-based team, but maybe this year, Victoria, could be a year like it was for Washington. You finally win when nobody around the rest of the NHL is paying as close attention to you. Do you get that feeling with them?
Maybe. I also do. One note that actually struck me in preseason as well, when you're saying that maybe you're not expecting, they're not that much different than they were before, but there is one difference, and a lot of fans knocked this move in the offseason, but Mike Smith brought it up in preseason play, that the addition of Duncan Keith to the back end is making all the difference in the world. And I know Duncan Keith today is not the same Duncan Keith from 10, 15 years ago, and nobody expects him to be, but the guy has won cups. He knows how to do it. And having that winning mentality in the room, I think sometimes when you have all the other pieces in play, and I think they have more of the pieces in play than they have for a while, and I think that can make them, that's pushing them just through the door, pushes them over the ledge a little bit. And so I think that's going to make a little bit of a difference as well. The defense looks stronger altogether. I think Bouchard just takes another step this season. We've been waiting for that for a while. And yeah, I mean, in their division, for sure. You have the three California teams who aren't going, I don't expect them to go very far. Seattle is just getting their feet wet in the NHL. So really, honestly, other than the Oilers, other than Vegas, the Oilers should be top. They should be cream of that division.
Agreed. We'll see if they can finally live up to expectations. I wasn't going to do Pittsburgh second, but now I'm going to, since you said it was going to be either Oilers or Penguins, and really get you mad about the bet you made with yourself that I still don't really understand. But Pittsburgh, 2-0-1 with no Crosby and Malkin is right. A story. How are they doing it?
Well, Jari's been great, and Jeff Carter's been good enough. When you're pushing Jeff Carter, again, talking about Duncan Keith and being, you know, not the same player as you were a few years ago. Jeff Carter is not the same player as he was a few years ago, but he's holding down the fort, the top center position, and I think that's making a big difference for them. Tristan Jarry's looked fantastic. it also, they've been on the road, which makes it a little bit even more impressive. I think it's been a lot of group effort as well. And they're not going to be without Sidney Crosby for too long, so that's more good news. Malkin, yes, but not Crosby. But I think it's just been a great group effort, and they get to come home soon. And so far, 2-0-1, it's not a bad... Without your two top players... Oh, also, Chris Letang. Chris Letang looks like Chris Letang of a few years ago. He looks fantastic out there. And if he can have a season like he has recently and not when he was injured last little while, that's going to make a big difference for them as well. I don't have them making the playoffs. So I'm going to jump on. I think that question was probably going to come up. I don't have them making the playoffs, but honestly, in the Met division, I don't know what's the Metro division. I don't know what's happening there. And they get their two healthy centers back, and Jari plays as best as he can. Who knows?
They find a way, don't they? They are something else, even at this stage in an aging team compared to the glory days of the Cups. They are, once again, finding ways to win hockey games.
You can't rule them out. You can never, ever rule them out. Yeah. That's true. I absolutely agree with you, Raj.
Another team I find interesting, well, maybe I don't find them interesting because they're not very interesting to a lot of people, but the Minnesota Wild, I remember, did a couple of NHL preseason previews, and there were a couple of writers, broadcasters I talked to who were really high on them this year. And first, before I want to get into the specifics about them, are you high on them, or do you just see them as a team, you know, they're just sort of there?
I respect how they're made up. I like how they look. I like how they're all coming together. I think the Central's really tough. I don't know who to pick outside of Colorado, perhaps at the top. The rest of it, St. Louis, Chicago, Nashville, Winnipeg. I mean, outside, I've got Arizona at the bottom. I've got Colorado at the top. And then in the middle, it's just a mashup. I don't know how you decide who's going to move forward and who's not going to move forward in that division. I just think it's particularly tough, but they're very quiet. I think they're very well built. Cam Talbot, again, to just look at the goaltending, super. They've got great depth with Rask and Fiala and Marcus Foligno, these players that you don't even really think about that aren't necessarily on the top line with Kirill and Mats Zuccarello. Their defense is solid but not sexy. They just have all the pieces in play, and I think they're going to be a very tough team to beat. Now, if they can emerge from that division, I think that's a different conversation. I think it's going to be very tough. But I have a hard time picking who will emerge because I think Chicago's going to take another step. I know they've had a lousy start, but I think they're going to take another step this season. And it's just going to be a real logjam in there. But I think Minnesota's going to be very tough to beat.
I'm a big Cam Talbot fan. We'll see how he shapes up this year. And in front of the way that team plays, I think they might be dangerous, but we'll see. Victoria Matias is with us from ESPN.com. I'm Roger Lajoie. Montreal Canadiens off to an 0-3 start, exactly what the doctor did not order for this team. And speaking of the doctor, injuries have been a factor. The price situation, right, of course, is a difficult one to deal with. And after that great run to the Stanley Cup final, I think a lot of people expected the Canadiens to take some sort of a step back. But boy, this 0-3 start shows probably, Victoria, how vulnerable this team really is right now.
I'm not going to read too much into it. Three games is three games. They do look shaky. They need to be better offensively. I thought they were much better offensively in the third period of last game, so I think that bodes well for the future. Allen needs to be a little bit better. He's got to be the guy, because we don't know how long Carey Price is going to be out for, and Carey Price needs to stay out for as long as he needs to stay out. This is just hockey. It doesn't matter nearly as much. So Jake Allen has to be the guy for as long as that situation is going to endure. One good sign coming up is they are getting Mike Hoffman back. He hasn't been around to start the season, and that's just an injection on offense, especially on the power play. I think that's going to change. I know it's only one player, but I think it changes the whole look of that. Not maybe even top nine. He might not even slide into the top six. I think he will right now because Montreal is struggling. But I'm not panicking, and if I was a Habs fan, I would not be panicking right now. I think Jonathan Drouin looks fantastic, and so that's a good sign. And they played, you don't want to have losses against San Jose and Detroit, but I didn't think they looked too bad against Carolina, so they just have to be better on offense. And Allen's got to be a little bit better, and the D in front of him has to be a little bit better. But again, I mean, you don't want to start the season off with three losses, but we can't hit the panic button yet. Talk to me when it's seven losses or eight losses, and I don't think we're going to get to that point.
We'll see. The Florida Panthers, another team. We were talking about teams trying to break through after being, you know, just in the middle and trying to get there. It seemed like Florida was a perennial ninth-seeded team in playoffs for so many years. You look at them now, all the pieces in there, building on last season, and they've got to be happy, obviously, with a 2-0 start. Same question maybe as Edmonton. Is it fair enough to put them in the same bracket as, hey, is it about time these guys did something with that young talent?
I picked them on record at ESPN.com to go to the Stanley Cup final. So, yes, I think so. I have them up against Colorado in the Stanley Cup final. I don't think they're missing anything right now. I know teams on paper don't win championships. We all know that. But right now, looking at them on paper, I think they picked up a few pieces. Bobrovsky now looks like the player. I mean, again, a couple games, but he looks like the player who's earning a paycheck. He looks good. And I think having Spencer Knight pushing him a little bit in net is going to make a huge difference this year. And if he does falter, Spencer Knight is going to be right there to come in and take over. And he's going to be a star in this league. I don't know necessarily this season, maybe next, but he's going to be there pushing. Having Joe Thornton just added that, I know that's what Toronto tried to do as well. I think Florida is going to enjoy more success there just because they're a more balanced team. They've got the firepower up front. Barkov doesn't have to do all of it. That second line of Bennett, Huberdeau, and the young kid, Owen Tippett, they can carry so much of the weight. Defensively, they have Aaron Ekblad healthy, which they were missing last year. And I think that would have made a difference down the stretch run and through the playoffs as well. Having Aaron Ekblad was like heading towards Norris Trophy winning. And having lost him for the rest of the season, I think hurt them a lot. They're well, Joel Quenneville, he knows how to win, obviously. They're not missing anything to me. So that's why I picked them to go to the Stanley Cup final. Who knows? That's asking a lot, but I think they do enjoy a great deal of success this year. And I'll tell you, if they don't make the conference finals, I will be mildly surprised.
I think a lot of people will. I think people have been waiting for Florida the last couple of seasons, Victoria, and I think the time is finally here, but we shall see. As we keep saying, it is so early in the season, but a great start for them. Buffalo Sabres have won two games. That's good news for them because they haven't done anything in the longest time. And the same old story with Jack Eichel. Avalanche were in there with the Sabres. The talks apparently stopped, retaining the salary. Let's go with Eichel first, Victoria. I mean, is this just going to be a topic for all of this season? Do you see any chance of this getting resolved anytime soon?
It has to, though, doesn't it? I mean, I hate the extra drama. I was so happy when Tkachuk signed with Ottawa the other day because the holdout nonsense, and I want to see Phil Kessel get traded. I'd like to see Jack Eichel get traded so we can just get down to the business of no longer waiting for it and just enjoying the sport on our television sets and watching them play on the ice. I mean, how much longer can it go? But I don't know. It would be really awful if we're sitting and having this conversation in January. Buffalo Sabres, I know they're off to a great start. They beat Arizona in a very shaky Montreal team, so let's not get too excited about that. And Dylan Cousins is the future center of that team, and that's great. He's still young. He needs more experience. They need more bodies in there, and moving Jack Eichel is going to bring them prospects or picks or probably some players. He's going to bring a little bit of a haul back, and that's going to make Buffalo, if not necessarily better this season, the next season. And the fans deserve that, to look forward to that, because Kyle Okposo can't play like he's played these first two games all season long, because Kyle Okposo hasn't played like that in years. We can't count on that. Anderson's been good. Tokarski's been good. But this team is going to start to get beat up pretty bad pretty soon. And the sooner that management, I understand they don't want to get ripped off. Of course not. But the sooner that management can make the right deal in moving Jack Eichel, the better it is going to be for everyone, including Jack Eichel and including hockey fans. I want to see the guy play, right?
Everyone wants to see him play. It is tiresome. It really is. And one would hope it would get resolved. Do you have a level of optimism about the Sabres' direction, at least? So much of it is going to be shaped by what they get for Eichel, how this all goes out. And your point is very valid. Two wins to start the season against two shaky teams means nothing with this team. But I think Sabres fans are just clinging for some hope. Do you see any for them anytime soon?
They have talent. Victor Olofsson is the real deal. Dylan Cousins is the real deal. Casey Mittelstadt might become the real deal this season. So they do have some young talent. They have some players coming up through the system. Rasmus Dahlin, I think, is going to be a very good defensive for years to come. I know he has his detractors, but I'm not one of them. I want to see what they get back for Eichel first, and then they need to stick, like, this moving coaches all over the place and changing management and, you know, these gentlemen in and out. They need to settle on a plan and stick with it, and then maybe we can look forward. But I don't see on the horizon, not in the next 2 or 3 seasons. I'd be surprised if they get it together before then. But I wouldn't say that Sabres fans don't have anything to look forward to. Not at all. They have some good young talent, and that's something.
There's a lot of good talent on the New York Islanders. They're another team that, you know, has just kind of not been able to have the major playoff breakthrough they want. But they have been, in the minds of some people, a surprise of just how good they've been the last couple of regular seasons. 2 games, again, small sample size, got it. And the Hurricanes, certainly, and the Panthers are an easy draw to start your season. But the Islanders give up 11 goals in 2 games. Is that a question of their goaltender not being available? What do you think?
Well, Sorokin isn't that bad either, though, just because they don't have Varlamov back yet. And apparently they're waiting for him to be 100% and hinting that he might be 98 or 97. I don't understand all of that. But apparently he's not far off. But Sorokin is not a bad goaltender either. I think sometimes you just play bad hockey games. And I think they played a couple of bad hockey games. Because the way that the Islanders are built and the way that they're coached by Barry Trotz, giving up 11 goals over 2 games, evenly, by the way, is rather ridiculous. That's not who this team is by any extent of the imagination. You've got some new pieces in there. I mean, Zdeno Chara is kind of getting his feet under him after so many years with another team in Boston. I think they're just still figuring it out. Parisi, they're figuring it out. Anders Lee missed a whole bunch of last season. They're coming back together again. Noah Dobson is basically learning how to play in the NHL. I know he had a taste of it last year, but he's now there full-time, starting on the power play. They're going to come together, and we're going to laugh. But can you imagine if somebody had told you to start the season? I mean, a lot of my colleagues have picked them to go to the Stanley Cup final, and then giving up 11 goals in 2 games is rather ridiculous. I think they turned this around pretty quickly. And as you mentioned, Roger, against the Hurricanes and Panthers, and those are 2 very good teams. Still 11 goals, that's not how this team is built, and that's not how this team is going to continue performing, not at all.
No, too good a team to be down for too long. Agreed there. Victoria, we had the situation here with the Leafs having to, you know, sign an amateur goaltender from the University of Toronto to be a backup goaltender in their game yesterday. Fortunately, he did not have to play. No disrespect to him, but that's the way it is. And it's a result of the cap within the team and the cap within the NHL. You know, we're coming out of COVID, and no, any team that runs into cap issues, we have to blame them to a certain extent. But we see a situation like this, and we see, you know, nobody saw COVID coming in terms of what it was going to do to the economics of the game and freezing the cap and everything that's happened to the game. But boy, oh boy, this is still a real embarrassment for both them and the league, is it not?
I think it's getting more attention because it's Toronto. This actually happens around the league fairly regularly, and we just don't focus on it as much. There's paper moves made, and I understand it's a little bit more glaring because it's at the goaltender position, but teams have gone forward with, you know, just having 6 defensemen and nobody else available because of the same issues. I think the Toronto microscope just magnifies this all the more. But no, you don't want to run into the situation at all. And now they're getting Michael Hutchinson back. So, I mean, we can stop sounding the alarm bells. And it's good that it never came to anything yesterday. And thank goodness nothing happened to Jack Campbell, because I know everybody enjoyed the circus against Carolina last time around. I didn't as much. It was a fun story for a minute. I don't want to see a university goalie who actually hasn't even played this year, is my understanding, the Bishop kid. I don't want to see that, because I don't think you're going to see the heroics as we did with the Carolina in the Carolina game. And seeing some kid get peppered for 8 goals is just not fun to me. So thank goodness we didn't go down that road. I'm not going to jump on Leafs management for mismanaging the cap, because as you mentioned, Roger, the COVID situation has, you know, we probably would have been dealing with a higher cap now without it. And the situation would have been a little bit different. It's one game. If this was a week, absolutely, huge talking point. One game, they survived it. I think we can move on.
All right, finally, before we let you go, I'd like your read on the Leafs, Victoria. We've talked a lot about the Leafs already today, but from where you sit, and never mind the 2-1 start, but this team's challenge is going to be like a lot of the teams we've already discussed, a team that is proven to be a regular season team that can win in a lot of seasons, yet can't do it in the playoffs. But you got to play 82 games, obviously, before you get to the postseason, providing you do make the postseason. You mentioned Florida was a Stanley Cup finalist pick for you. Where do you put the Leafs in this mix, in which figures to be a much tougher division than the one they played in last year?
If you're only having four teams coming out of the Atlantic, who are you picking? Florida's one for me. Tampa Bay's one for me. Then you're having the conversation afterwards. Is it Boston and Toronto? Okay, that means no Montreal, right? I mean, yep. Ottawa and Detroit, I think we can probably figure are not going to be, Ottawa, Detroit, and Buffalo, probably not in the mix. And then you're battling up out amongst the other five. So, yes, tentative yes. I do have them going ahead of Montreal, and I thought that before the shaky start by the Habs. I do have them going ahead. I don't know what happens after that. Again, the conference is tough. The division is tough. I think they are a little bit better this year with Kasha in particular. I know we're not spending a lot of time on him, but I think he just strengthens that bottom six. And Michael Bunting has turned out to be a nice surprise so far. They're 2-1 without their best player. And I think Austin Matthews is coming back for their next game, I believe. I saw that. I can't confirm that for sure, but I believe that he'll be back.
Fantastic.
Yep. So that's great. Yep. So that's great for the Maple Leafs as well. And Mrazek isn't going to be out forever. I know the groin issue is a thing, but he's not going to be out forever either. Jack Campbell continues to play the way that he is capable, and he looked great last night. He continues to play the way that he's capable. I don't see this team having any issue making the postseason. After that, this is a ridiculous answer, but I think they win a round because they have to. There's no way they can't. And I know that's not the way the world works, and there's absolutely no logic to it at all. They have to win a playoff round, Roger. They have to. So I think they will, finally. Because I don't know if they're winning two, but I do think that they win one.
You going to make a bet with yourself on that one, or are you just going to sit that one out and play that?
You know what? I probably could have come up with a better analogy for that.
Victoria Matias joining us from ESPN.com to look around the NHL. Victoria, it's always great to chat with you. Stay safe and well. Thanks so much.
You as well, Roger. Thanks for having me.